Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. I hope you are having a good one. It is foggy where I am, and so for me, that does not bode well for productivity. And so, probably after this, I'm about to get back on the couch and watch Netflix or something. But you know what? If you are somebody who loves to be productive when it's cold and foggy, God bless you, because that's not me. Today's episode, I think, is really wonderful. I get to talk with a longtime friend, Emma, who we went to college together and we sang together and we were involved in our gospel choir chapel team. And then we haven't really seen each other since, but we've been, you know, following each other on Instagram and staying in contact. And I think it's been really cool to see just our individual journeys. And she has become a mom and she's a wife and they live on a farm. And so she is a homesteader, which I love. And I think she brings a really beautiful perspective on what it looks like for each individual family to make decisions when it comes to lifestyle and nutrition and diet based on what is practical and what feels integrous to you, right? I think a lot of times when we're wanting to make changes, it's because we're feeling guilty or shamed. You know, maybe you saw an Instagram post about like, if you're eating this, you're killing yourself, you know, things like that. I just feel like the shame-driven culture is so not helpful. It's not, at least for me. And so I think I love our conversation because I'm so passionate about just learning how to give all of us tools on how to make long-term lifestyle changes, but in a really practical and achievable way. It does not have to be overnight. And I also feel like we touch on the beautiful aspect of like, what has God called to and who has he called you to be first and foremost? And then how has he called you, either an individual, if you're single like me, if you're a family, like what has he called your family to be and how to live and how to support? Like, what is that for you? Not anybody else, but for you. And so it's just so beautiful. And, you know, as we've all been navigating this journey of just making different changes, I think it's also really beautiful to see how, you know, disease does not run in generations just because, right? We either help keep it going or we can be the ones to stop it, right? Because nutrition and lifestyle and diet have such a huge, huge contribution to our very cellular health, the way that our bodies form. It is because of lifestyle and nutrition. And so you can be the one, I can be the one to stop disease in my family because of changes that I decide to make. And so that's why I am so passionate. And I know Emma is so passionate. And so I hope you guys can enjoy and learn a lot from this conversation. I have to share an obsession of mine with you guys that I'm also affiliated with, and that is Organo King Coffee. Now, did you know that most coffee crops in the U.S. are very underregulated and they contain some of the highest levels of mold and mycotoxins, which contribute to a whole host of health issues? Now, there's many reasons people don't drink coffee or they do drink coffee, and a lot of times it's for health. But most of those actually have to do with the quality sourcing of the coffee bean. GERD, acid reflux, a lot of times that has to do with how good or poor quality of coffee you're drinking. King Coffee is infused with the Ganoderma mushroom, which is one of the powerhouses of mushrooms. It is not even comparable to other mushroom coffees because of this bad sourcing practices that most companies only use the stem of the mushroom. As well, they mass produce, ignoring the needed development time for the mushrooms to produce. This immune-regulating coffee is beneficial for so many reasons. And I've noticed in myself, I don't have much morning bloat anymore. I don't belch as much anymore. Ask some of my friends, because when we go hiking or we're outside, I can belch the ABCs. And so that has really been improving. As well, I haven't been experiencing afternoon jitters or that afternoon crash that most people know about. This mushroom has countless benefits for hormonal health. And I use King Coffee in my enemas as well because it is heavily anti-parasitic. And I don't care what you've heard, we all have parasites. So the link to grab some of your Organo King Coffee is in the show notes. Disclaimer: this podcast episode is for educational and informational purposes only. This is not medical advice. I am not a medical doctor, psychiatrist, or therapist, nor am I trying to be. The information presented is not intended to be a substitute for health and medical care that can be provided by your own physician, medical doctor, or mental health provider, nor is it intended to be used to diagnose or treat any condition. Always seek medical counsel relating to your specific health needs with any questions or concerns you may have, especially before starting any treatment plan, fitness regimen, adding supplements, changing or quitting medication, or making any lifestyle, mental health, or dietary changes. Any suggestion or recommendation mentioned on this podcast is to be taken at your own risk.
All right. Well, Emma, thank you so much for doing this. Hello. Yay.
We were just talking before we started recording, and it has been probably almost 10 years since we've seen each other.
Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy. That's crazy to me.
Oh, I feel like, Lord, I was like a child 10 years ago. I mean, I guess we kind of were, but yeah, that's crazy.
Right. I still feel like a child sometimes.
Uh-huh. It's more fun that way.
It is more fun that way, I know, right? Well, yes. Oh my gosh. I'm excited for this because I feel like we saw each other through some interesting times in college, but yep. We were able to be a part of chapel team together. Did we do gospel choir as well, or was it just chapel team?
Just gospel, just chapel team. Worship team. Yeah, chapel team.
Gospel mm-hmm. worship team. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so we did. And so we have a lot of, oh my gosh, interesting stories and
a lot of late nights. Yes.
A lot of late nights through all of that. Yeah. Yeah. But so it's just fun kind of the full circle. Mm-hmm. Just getting to have you on this. And so, yeah. So I would just love for you to start a little bit kind of sharing, and even just me. I mean, I know I keep up with you and like we talk and like message each other on Instagram and stuff. But yeah, just kind of tell just a little bit about your story and introduce yourself.
Yes, I know. That's like the question of all questions. It's like, where do I even start?
It's the question of all questions.
Yes, it is. But I live in Minnesota. I actually was born and raised in Colorado. I have no connection to Minnesota other than the fact that God kind of called us out here. And that's a little bit more of my story, maybe a little bit later. But I have two little ones. I'm a mom. I have a 4.5-year-old. Named Piper and a 2-year-old named Colt. And they are just wonderful and have so much energy. And I mean, it's like, if you ask any parent, it's the most beautiful, most exhausting, most joyful thing in the world. And I am finding that every single day. So, I'm married. We are actually just about to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Oh my goodness. Congrats.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So yeah, my husband and I, we met in college and got married right after college and then have moved around a lot. We are both worship leaders. He is currently on staff at a church as the creative arts pastor. And so we have just moved with God's call on our lives. And it happened that it was California, Minnesota, back to California, and now we're back in Minnesota. So lots of back and forth, but we do feel like we're here hopefully for good. But I mean, nothing is forever. And we always, you know that, you know, with the Lord, we just go where he calls us. And So I mostly am a stay-at-home mom, but I also do teach music lessons on the side and lead some worship. And dabble in a lot of different things. But and we live in central Minnesota, which is the farming land, and we live on a little hobby farm, which we love. We've been here for almost 4 years, and it has just been such a gift. So
Wow, that's super cool. Minnesota, yes. I know. I remember in college you always talked about Colorado. And then I've finally been to Colorado a few times. I'm like, oh, this is actually a great state.
Yes, I love it. And we love it because so all of our family's all over, but the main places are Southern California, like San Diego, Colorado, and then over on the East Coast. So we have really great places to visit, which is wonderful because, I mean, we love Minnesota, but the winters are brutal. So it's nice to have a little bit of,
that's what I've heard.
Escape. I mean, right. I feel like it's rough.
Yeah. I think it was like 65 the other day here, and I was like, oh, it's cold.
Oh, Whitney.
I know. I'm sorry. That's so rude to say. No, but I was like, anytime.
Get anytime your Ugg cold, boots I'm and like, your sweater.
100% leather jacket. I moved to Virginia for like a year, and I remember I moved in January. Ooh. And I was like, I'm going to look cute. And so on my first day, like to go to class, I had to take the bus. And it was in, January, February. And I'm wearing like my leather jacket and jeans and like boots. Oh. And I just was like in pain. It hurt so much. And so finally I took my brother's really disgusting like floor length winter coat. I was like, gosh, I guess I have to do it. I have to be one of you.
You cannot be cute in the winter. It is not about looking cute. Uh-uh. You got to be warm. But you also didn't acclimate. Like, that's the difference is, like, when it gets to be, like, negative 20 here in the winter, we've had a couple months to acclimate. It still doesn't feel great, but it's, you know, it's a little bit better than jumping in. Yeah.
Negative 20. My God. Yeah. My God. Anyway. That's crazy.
Visit Minnesota. It's beautiful. Minnesota is amazing.
Visit Minnesota.
Yes. In the summer. In the summer.
This is a travel ad for visiting Minnesota.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited to have you because I know that both of us have very different journeys. But when it comes to health and wellness, as well as being believers, we were talking about this a little bit beforehand. It's kind of an interesting area when it comes to health and wellness because I feel like it also gets very spiritual and it gets very all over the place, right? Like when you start to talk about stuff, then you get into like, just a lot of religious things. And so I find it very refreshing when I see people that I know and just people that I follow or that just really respect when it comes to like just working around the health and wellness space that also believe and follow God and live a biblical lifestyle. It's weird to say that, but
I know.
It doesn't really coincide all the time.
Right.
But, you know, we have DM'd a lot, especially in the last couple of years and like seeing the things that you post and the things that I post and all that stuff. And so I'm excited to talk today because you guys live on a farm, which is so cool. It's so cool. So I think why I was excited is because also a lot of people think when it comes to living healthy, when it comes to like making better choices for like when it just comes to eating differently, it's really expensive. Hmm. It's a lot of work. It's really time consuming. It's something that is not necessarily available and applicable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so while this is, I'm excited about our conversation to support it. I also want to say with a caveat, like this is not at all any way to like shame people who aren't, you know, living to a certain way maybe that they want to, right? Or like maybe not eating a certain way that they want to or feel like they don't have, you know, the funds or access or any of that stuff. Like there's nothing, I think there's a lot of culture of like, if you're not eating like this, how dare you? How could you?
Sure.
You know, all of that. Yes. And that's not at all what we're trying to accomplish, I think. You know, both of our hearts is to really just help encourage people as well as come up with some really easy and practical, informative ways for families, for single people like me, for moms, you know, like you, whose schedules are all over the place. There's such amazing resources and access that we actually can have to living a certain kind of lifestyle if we so choose to, right? It's absolutely a decision. And so I would just love to hear a little bit about kind of your journey into just even how did you get into kind of more interested in, you know, the way that you eat and the way that you live?
Yeah. And I think you're so right with that, it can look like it's an all or nothing choice. and that it's something that you do overnight, where we both know that it's years, it's a journey, and it will continue to be a journey for, you know, as long as we're doing this, as long as we're living, right?
Absolutely.
And so for me, I mean, I feel really fortunate because I grew up with a mom who is incredible, and she really leaned more toward a just natural, holistic lifestyle. Like she had me and my brothers at home with midwives before home births were cool. So, you know, 20 or no, not 20, I'm not in my 20s, 30, you know, 30 years ago, she was brewing kombucha and growing sprouts and like doing all that stuff before there was really... before it was really more mainstream than it is today. So I grew up around that, and it wasn't so far on the side that like it was weird to other people, but like it wasn't weird for me, like growing up and taking and, you know, using remedies like homeopathy for certain things and not really going to the doctor unless something was like really, really wrong. You know, learning about food and learning about like what, you know, how food really fuels our bodies. And so, I had a pretty solid foundation. She never really, you know, she never forced anything on us as kids, which I'm grateful for. And I'm trying to keep that in mind raising my own kids, because it just gave me this really like solid foundation that I have been able to return to over and over again. Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, college is college and you do what you do. You eat to survive. Right. And like, I mean, you know.
Oh my gosh.
It's those just biscuits, fun.
Those APU biscuits. I can't tell you how many of those I ate. I cannot tell you how many I ate. It was disgusting. So,
yep. Oh yeah. I think I ate a bowl of Cocoa Puffs in the calf like every day. So it really wasn't until after college that, again, I had this foundation. I knew these things. After my husband and I got married, maybe like a year into our marriage, we jumped on this like documentary train. There were all these health documentaries coming out, maybe on Netflix. I don't even remember what we watched them on, but I was like, man, this stuff is fascinating. And it sort of like, it sort of stirred up some things in me that had, I'm like, man, I remember like growing up with this. And so we weren't struggling with any, chronic issues or any health issues by any means, but we just didn't feel good. And so we just started with food, and we made some dietary changes. I don't even know if we really cut anything out specifically. That wasn't even back then. That wasn't even like cut out all the things, you know, unless you have, you know, so we did that, and I will never forget just the drastic change that we felt in our energy and in our sleep and in our moods, like all of this stuff. And it was just because of food. And I think that was kind of it for me. I was like, okay, there's something to this. And then from there, it felt slow, but I just sort of felt this like desire and this passion, like, man, I think I want to pursue this more holistic lifestyle. What does that look like for more non-toxic living? Like, what does that look like for what I put on my body, what I use to clean my house, those kinds of things. And so again, it was a slow shift. I know some people will like go all out. They throw everything out in their house, all their makeup, all their cleaning products. And like, if you can do that and you can financially afford that, go for it. But for me, it just felt more sustainable and I wanted to research too. I didn't want to just do something because somebody said, hey, this is the way to go. It's like, no, I want to know why. Like, why is this stuff that I spray on my windows hazardous to me? Like, why is it toxic? Why is, you know, how is it an endocrine disruptor? So, so it felt more gradual. And when we had moved back to California from Minnesota, so we actually moved back to San Diego. I got a job and was commuting pretty significantly every day. And that's when I feel like podcasts are really starting to come out. So I just gobbled up podcasts every single day for hours. And it happened to be all of these like health and wellness podcasts. And I was just, and a lot of them were more science-based, which I really liked, because it was like, it was people sharing their stories and how things had impacted them. But it was also like, hey, here's the research that supports this data. Here's the reason why. And I was like, Oh man. And then of course, being in Southern California, you're exposed yep. to so many of that, like that culture. It's easy to walk down the street mm-hmm. and get kombucha on tap or get like fresh, right. you know, organic fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market. So I just was right. like, this is great. And this was before we had kids. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like this, it kind of became, it became a passion. It became a hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like dragging my husband along in this. And he was like, what is all this? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I felt like that was a pretty big turning point, was really just like digging into podcasts and then even sort of like going back to my mom and being like, hey, did you know this? And she's like, yeah, I totally forgot about that, you know, or teaching her things. Like I got her really into using essential oils, which is like, you know, and so it's so fun to have, you know, someone I'm so close to, like we get to like pass these. Mm-hmm. She has knowledge that she gained from books, right? When she was doing all the she researched and just read books. And now we have awesome. So many more resources, right? There's blogs and podcasts and I mean, just endless information. So, So I feel like that set a really, strong foundation. And I think when we started really looking at specifically food and nutrition, we were like, man, it really does matter where your food comes from. And I think that sort of started this spark of like, man, I think someday we would really like to raise our own food and grow our own food. What would that look like? You know, how would we do that? Yeah. I don't know if it's totally, we had a couple acres when we lived in San Diego, and we had chickens, but it was a different time in our lives. And when we moved back to Minnesota, we were really fortunate just with, so we have moved 12 times and have lived in seven houses. Like this is our seventh house that we've owned. So
yeah,
we knew coming back, we were like, we want to look for, if we're coming back to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And at this point I had my daughter. And so it was a move to be able to come out and me to be able to stay home with her because you know, in California, it's so expensive and we didn't have family super close to be able to help with like childcare for both of us to work. So, but anyway, so we knew moving back, like we would love to get a property with some land, maybe on a lake, like just something. And we just stumbled across this really, really old, And we fix houses up. So, I mean, it's been a labor That's of awesome. Love, but really old farmhouse on 8 acres and on a lake. And to this day, like it's been 4 years. This is the longest we've ever lived in a house. And we just sometimes we'll be sitting on our dock after we put the kids to bed and watching the sunset. And we're like, I'm looking at my husband. I'm like, do we live here? Like, is this real life? Yeah. Like God is so good. And I always tell people, and I even try and post this sometimes on Instagram. I'm like, it looks amazing and it looks beautiful. And you see all these like, you know, these people that post about their amazing farm lifestyles, homesteading. It is a lot of work. I mean, it is a lot of work, but to us, it's, that's where we want to put our energy right now. And slowly, again, it's a slow process. We didn't jump in and have 20 cows and 30 chickens and horses and like giant garden. Like we've really slowly taken steps to move toward a more self-sustaining lifestyle. I call it halfway homesteading because I don't think that we will ever be fully self-sufficient. That's just not, I don't know. I still like to shop at Target and, you know, go out to eat, you know, for in California, we're going to go to In-N-Out. Like it's about balance.
Totally.
But we're doing what we can right now. And, and as our kids get a little bit older and they're helping out more, it's just so fulfilling watching them. And we didn't grow up like this. You know, this is not something we always dreamed of, but the Lord sort of just over time planted this in our hearts and felt like this was sort of a family vision that we wanted to move toward. So,
that's okay. So that's powerful. Cause you said a few things that I think is important. So, you know, there's that statement and I don't know who says it or where it's from, but it's like, you know, disease that runs in the family can end with you, right? Like sickness can come to you, but you can stop that for your family and start this new trajectory of health, right? Because as we're learning, even just in epigenetics and learning about how, you know, our genes, like disease, what is something, it's like 2% of disease factors are from genes, which you can actually very much so change the expression, your gene expression through diet and lifestyle, right? So
you know,
a lot of people are like, well, cancer runs in my family, or diabetes runs in my family, or thyroid issues, whatever it is, runs in our family. And so I think that's so beautiful that you had that foundation from your mom to even growing up, like, you know, and not probably you weren't very cognizant of like, I'm doing this so I, you know, can be crazy healthy and all this kind of stuff. But I think the power of somebody, if somebody starts it, then there can be this amazing trajectory, right? Like your kids now are living a lifestyle that they probably wouldn't have known if some of this hadn't been instilled in you, right? And like my parents, I definitely didn't grow up healthy. Like they experimented, I think they were both like vegan at one time and very active and all that kind of stuff. But like more so, and I actually should ask them, I don't think it's because I got sick, but I know like eventually like our family has also become very much, you know, they've been on their own journey. I've been on my own journey, but it's very aware of how they eat and, you know, what they take and movement and all of that kind of stuff, which I've been so thankful for because, you know, the last few years, it's like, we're learning that our health is, it's always been vital, but we're just, it's very vital. And so, you know, I think some people who want to start even just looking differently at their life and being like, well, where do I start? It's interesting. You said, so your husband, was he not really into it at first? Like you were saying you're kind of dragging him along.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he kind of would like sarcastically poke fun at me, and this is all stuff we talk about, like, and joke about it still. Like, he would, and it's not this, but he's like, oh, that witchcraft, you know, because or like you're really crunchy, you know? And I think it comes from, his side of the family. He comes from a very, sort of, well, his dad was military. And then his mom and his sister are in Western medicine. And so he grew up really differently than I did. And we had to have those conversations and be really open to one another and talk about things, especially when it has come to kids. Like that's a big thing. That we've had to, that we've been like, okay, what's right for our family? But yeah, I mean, if you would ask him, like, I always go back to this, which is just so funny, but like, you know, maybe like 6 years ago, I would be drinking kombucha and he'd be like, that's disgusting. And now he loves it. And I brew it. And he's like, Emma, you need to make more of that. So, you know, if he gets sick, he'll come up to me and kind of reluctantly go, okay, make me that drink. And which I make just a concoction of things to help like boost immunity and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, it's because, you know, he has seen the impact on his life too, and on our lives, and just the health and the longevity so far.
Totally. You know, no,
yeah.
And I think I bring it up because I think a lot of times you'll notice even maybe in like a family structure, like it starts with one person.
Yes.
And so I think it can be, you know, I've had a lot of girlfriends or just people that I know who are moms who are like, there is no way I can get my husband. And I'm sure there's place times where the husband is the one who really wants to get into it and the wife. For me personally, I've only known, you know, like girlfriends who have asked me about it. Would you have any, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but
that's
like,
fine.
Is there anything, I'm just trying to think of like, you know, the mom or even just somebody who doesn't have kids, right? Wanting to start making these lifestyle changes and maybe having somebody in their life who is not quite open to it and isn't really down to invest in it together. What were some things that maybe you found helpful? You said he started to notice how he felt. But anything that you might have found helpful for, like in your own journey?
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing that was really crucial for us was I never like forced anything on him. I never said, this is what's happening. You have to like make the change too. But if I was the one cooking dinner for the most part, which I know that's not always the case in every relationship, like I had more control over what I cooked. And so I might make a meal that's just a little bit more nutrient dense and he's going to eat it. You know, it's not. And that's it's kind of similar with kids, too. It's like you don't have to tell your kids, we're going to do this, this and this. It's like just feed them good food. Right. But I think it's kind of similar to, I think, how we as believers want to be a light to those around us. If we shove things down people's throat, if we shove Christ down people's throats and do it in a really aggressive way, most of the time people are going to be pretty turned off. But if we just live our lives, you know, and talking about health stuff too, it's like, if we just, you know, made these small changes and he started to take notice, like, oh, okay, well, you're doing that. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll try that too. You know, like, man, I noticed something really different about you. Like, what is it? I'm like, well, I follow this really cool guy named Jesus Christ. And so let me tell you about him. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
It's just living that way. But
yeah,
I think it's, and I think a really important part too is, and I can go more into this as well, is starting really small. Because I think even if you're like, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you just drop everything and you throw away all the things and you throw away all your food and go out and get, you know, restock the pantry and the fridge, like, that's pretty drastic for somebody who maybe not, might not be on board with it. So starting small with those little things, choosing one area to focus on, whether that's food or movement or, you know, household products, I think. And then just sharing the why, like, hey, this, I feel good doing this. You're welcome to come alongside me, but I'm not forcing anything on you. So yeah, that's hard so though. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I think of just the people in my life that I've been around for a while. And, you know, now there's different friends experiencing different physical symptoms, or, you know, they're like, you know, I can't eat this anymore like I used to and all that kind of stuff. And so they're like, now, like, more people are coming to me and they're like, okay, like, do you have suggestions? Do you have, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which is just funny because there's definitely some friends who are like, oh my gosh, Whitney, just stop, like, just eat normal. And I'm like, I know, I'm like the kind of person, I hate being the nuisance. So like, you know, and some people can be just rude about everything in general, right? But like, if I go to a restaurant, I'm like, okay. And especially if it's not already someplace that, you know, I think is serving either like gluten-free stuff or whatever. I went to a restaurant yesterday for breakfast for a birthday, and I was like, okay, this is probably a really stupid question, but you don't happen to have like gluten-free pancakes or anything? And she was like, no, but I think our omelets are gluten-free. Like, she was so cute. And she was like, so just trying to be so sweet. But I like how you're saying that, like, not pushy and judgy, because that just turns people off anyways. Like, people roll their eyes at organic and gluten-free. I do too. I roll my eyes at it also, especially when it's like, people talk about it in this, like, I don't know, elitist type of a way, right? Yes. Like, I'm the best because I eat this way, all that stuff. So I love that. So the basics, like, it's, I think the question I get asked most is like, where do I start? Especially in this culture now of like, everybody, you can learn about every type of diet you want to learn about. And like you were saying, I'm so drawn to the science of stuff. But I've also learned that a lot of people who have gotten into like functional and integrative medicine and different things, it's because of their own journey, kind of like mine. I didn't necessarily find any relief or help in the AMA system. And so I kind of turned, you know, to see what my other options were. And so a lot of times you have people who have healed themselves and found a way of living more optimally through their own journey as well. And so, so you said you kind of just started looking at your diet. Can you talk a little bit more about like just what that looks like, even just practically, or like a day to day, like when you go shopping?
Okay. Yeah.
I know it sounds so basic.
But I think it's good. I think sometimes it's, when you're in a journey for so long, it is really good to go back to the basics and even just to see like, how far you've come as a person. Like I do, I look back to that 9 years ago and I was like, whoa, I've learned a lot. Like I'm really grateful for this journey. I feel like a big thing that we did was, I know this is like the thing, but it was just adding a lot more variety of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about like eat whole nutrient dense foods, which it, you know, that's that I think that's the best way to support our bodies. And again, like I'm coming from a place where I am not 100% like to the book, this is what I do, but it's, I think it's a balance. And I think it's so individual of people finding their balance and finding what works for them. Totally. But also just recognizing like the, okay, what function do fats have in the body? Like healthy fats, like what function does protein have in the body? What function do carbohydrates have? How do I get those in a healthy way? Like from, you know, healthy complex carbs and healthy fats and, you know, protein from, you know, good sources of meat or whatever it is, if you know. So I think just knowing how those things function, like I've learned over the years that I wasn't getting enough fat and I always thought it was protein. I don't know. It's like, you know, women need to eat so much protein, which is true. We all need a lot of protein, but I wasn't balancing it out with the amount of healthy fat that I needed. And so I was just like craving sweets all the time. I was hungry all the time. I wanted a snack all the time. But I noticed when I really upped my healthy fat, so things like avocado, you know, olive oil, avocado oil, nuts and seeds, butter, grass-fed butter. Like when I really upped those things and wasn't fearful of the fat, because we're coming out of that, right? That era of fat is bad, which some fat is bad.
Right.
So when I did that, and actually same with my husband, when we realized like if we had a high fat, moderate to high protein, lower carb diet, not no carb, not no carb, lower carb. That helped us to feel more satisfied. And we felt like we were actually fueling our bodies with what it, you know, what it needed. So it took some experimenting. But I think just starting simple with like, just eat some, try and get, you know, a vegetable at every meal. Try different things that are in season. Like you can go online and you can Google like what fruits and vegetables are in season and try to eat to the season. Cause then you're going to get the best quality of those. If you are in a place where you can go to a farmer's market, like I can't do that in the winter. So I do rely on like going to the grocery store, you know, and obviously we can, anyway, so, try that, like be adventurous, you know, I think, pick one thing to start with. And if it's food, you know, do that. Just say, hey, I'm going to really, and even like break it down even smaller. Like don't think about like all of your meals and all your snacks. Like, hey, I'm going to take my breakfast and I'm just going to like power it up. I'm going to add an extra helping of veggies, or I'm going to make an egg scramble with a bunch of veggies in it and some avocado on top. Then don't worry about lunch and dinner until maybe like a couple weeks in of having like done that breakfast thing. So,
That's good.
I think making it, especially for parents, for moms specifically, like, it's just, we already do so much. It's hard to like jump in full force to a brand new thing. So
for sure. That's good. No, that is really good. I had a thought and then I lost it, but, did you guys experience, so I live in California. And so right now I went to Trader Joe's and to get like a good cut of bacon, it's $11.99. So I said, you know what? We're not going to go with that for now. I think another one of the big fears, obviously like time, and then even probably people are like, oh my gosh, I don't want to make disgusting food or whatever. Like I want my kids to just eat food. I need them to eat, right? I think kids, they can – every kid has like such specific things that they like. But it's finance, like price. It is, it is a big deal. How did you guys navigate some of that when starting to realize like, okay, I want to change the way that I eat?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's one that I get a lot. Cause it's like, we do try to eat mainly organic when we can. And we've gotten to the place actually where we raise chickens for eggs and for meat. And then we raised some pigs with some friends this last year. And then we usually buy a quarter cow from a local farm. And then my husband's also a hunter. So he usually brings in a deer, once a year. So we're getting, so I'm like, it's been cool to transition to that. Like we really do know where our meat comes from. But with, you know, with other decisions with like, okay, am I going to choose this box of organic strawberries or conventional strawberries? Well, you have to know like, what are the benefits of either one? And I think for us from the beginning, and I don't know if it was something that we saw on one of these documentaries or, but the way that we see it is we, because of sort of the epidemic of the pharmaceutical industry and how many, medications people are on, especially later on in life and how many ailments and all of this is there's all kinds of data that backs this up. We decided, I think, you know, we just, I think we're going to pay a little bit higher of a price now so that we don't have to pay with our health later. And we, that's sort of been like the foundation for us early on is this feels like an investment in our health. And in our, even now in our kids' health, so that down the road when we're older, like, we truly are seeking longevity in our health. And, you know, and it's, we sacrifice in other areas because this is a priority for us. I think that is also why we have more of a draw to want to raise our own animals, not only to know where they come from, but to just financially. And then also we have a big garden and we, you know, it's so much more financially stable to grow your own food. And I get not everybody can do that. They're not in a place where they can do that. But I also, I noticed too, like you talking about meat, you know, if you invest in, you know, you go to the grocery store and you buy higher quality meat, typically you're going to need to eat less of it because it is higher quality just because of the, it's a lot more nutrient dense than conventionally raised meat. And so I always try to look at it that way. It's like, okay, if I'm, if I'm, you know, going to go to the store and get some bacon, that's like, and I'm also going to be more mindful of it. I'm not going to waste as much food because I know that I've invested more money into it.
Listen, I just ate some slightly sketchy broccoli. I finished it off yesterday because I was like, I'm not throwing this away.
No. So, and I mean, and it's, but, so I think that that's been a really helpful thing is just knowing like we, and again, it's balance. Like we don't, we're not, I say perfect, but like, I don't even know if I'd want to be that way because I think there is a stigma. It's like, well, you have to, you have to do everything this way. And especially I feel in mom culture is you have to feed your kids a certain way or you're a bad mom. You know, you have to parent your kids a certain way or you're a bad, like there's always, there's so much mom guilt and shame. And so I've really, especially with my first, it was hard, but with after having two kids, I've really learned to like tune that out and just be like, God, what do you want for our family? And I feel, and I do feel grateful because we are in a place where like where we live and also just the access to like, if we can't grow, like peppers, we can't grow peppers really well out here in Minnesota. The climate just isn't great for it. I can go to the store and I can buy organic peppers and I'm able to do that, you know? And I get that that's not plausible for everybody, but, if you can choose between, you know, you go to the grocery store and you can choose between buying, you know, like I said, strawberries and they're not organic or buying a bag of Cheetos, like go for the conventional strawberries. They're going to be way packed with way more than, then obviously a bag of Cheetos. Cheetos are delicious, but you know what I mean?
A balance for sure. That is good. And I know we both know a lot about the environmental working group every year. They talk about the clean 15 and the dirty dozen. And I think that's also a great way. I know that's a tool you utilize and I utilize it as well, which has been really helpful because there's certain things, that are okay to eat because they either have, you know, they're protected by the skins or maybe they're less processed or they have less chemicals in the way that they're grown compared to some other things. So it's, it's also, it's helpful to have that tool too. Sometimes when you're like, I am not about to pay, you know, $9 for, you know, nectarines or whatever. But then when you can, you can kind of see like, what are some of the ones that if you need to forgo organic, you know, feel free because it's, it can be a little bit more cost effective. And so,
And I've noticed too, with that, when we eat more seasonally, the things that are in season are going to be cheaper because there's more of an abundance of them. So like there are times in the winter when we don't really eat a lot of berries because And one, yeah. I think it's good to take breaks from certain foods, right? There's a benefit to like cycling foods. I think that's the gift that God has given us with different fruits and vegetables and foods in season. So like in the winter, we don't eat as many berries, but in the summer we go ham on strawberries and blackberries, like all the things, because they're available. They're more, you know, they're cheaper. So that's a way to look at it too. It's like, you know, cycle the, like try some different foods, you know, try new things. So
No, that's good. And then when it came to like cooking for your family and for your kids, did you find, have you found that their, I'm sure their taste palette is a little bit different than if they had been grown up maybe a little bit differently with more maybe packaged stuff, and not that that's bad or anything, but just I'm like, do they have a more specific palette, or are they pretty open to eating whatever?
I mean, they're toddlers. They're picky. And my actually my oldest, she had food allergies up until she was about 2 years old. She had a dairy and an egg allergy. And so I felt like we kind of missed that window for some things. But so, yes, I mean, do they love fruit snacks and pouches? Yes, they do. And we they get those. But I I do notice actually with meat, they are, I feel like, a lot more open because one, especially my oldest, she knows where our meat comes from. She, you know, she sees the chickens. She like takes care of them when we get them as chicks and then is outside with them. Like she names the turkeys that we butcher every year. Like, and we have told her from a very young age, like God gave us animals to eat. And we are so blessed that we can do this. And so, and she has started to get more interested in like the actual butchering process. And we've sort of like slowly let her in on certain parts of it. So, and even with like, with venison, with deer, when my husband gets, you know, he goes out and he gets a deer, like my kids love venison. I didn't grow up eating venison. You know, they love like the, you know, and again, I mean, the meat's like delicious. Like we have a bunch of pork in our freezer from a pig and the bacon is so good. So like, they're not going to say no to that. But I do, I do feel like they're more open to trying those kinds of things. And because like, and again, they'll eat, they love chicken nuggets, right? Like, but it's because they see us eating it, but I think they also understand the process. They're very involved in our garden. They will help plant the seeds and then they're out there watering and they're out there harvesting. And we, you know, they'll, I find, and this is even true too, even if you don't have, if you're not like growing your own food, if you get your kids involved, even get them in the kitchen with you and get them cooking, give them age appropriate jobs, get them cooking. And I, I promise it's not going to fix things overnight, but they're going to be so much more interested in that food and more invested in eating it because they invested time into helping mom and helping dad cook that. And I've, I've noticed that's been a really big deal. Like, you know, we'll be in the garden and my daughter Piper, she'll just like pick lettuce off and try it. She would never take a bite of salad from her plate, but like being in the garden. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's, a, I, see, that's I just so see that as like a little victory. So
That's that's really, I love that. So I want to hear about your journey of starting your, you said you're halfway homesteading because I just bought two planners the other day and I realized I think it was fraud. Like, I don't think it was a real website because it was a really good deal.
Oh no.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to I have to go report it to my credit card. So I was like, I'm ready. I'm starting because I have friends like you know, who garden all that stuff. And I was like, it's time, Whitney. Like, cause I'm just, I'm so, the idea is so romantic to me. Like, I go in the backyard and I pick all my vegetables. So
make a salad.
So you start, you're already into kind of health and wellness and you're like, all right, we are going to, how does that work? Because buying planters was a huge deal for me and it went like awry. So I got to figure it out again, but
I know we need to get you some new planters that are actually going to be legit. But like you did something though. You started like you started that process and like, that's what I mean about like, just start small. Like, I think the first, okay, I have to give a caveat here because my husband, he is the brains, the behind so much of this. He grew up like milking cows in the summer, and his dad has always had a really big garden. So he is the green thumb. He is the one that keeps our garden alive. It is not me. Like if it was up to me, things would be dead. So, I'm very, very grateful for that because we are very united, and he has skill sets and I have skill sets, and we put them together. But I think the first garden we had in our first house was like tomatoes and cucumbers. You know, you just start like really small, just do one thing. And then we and then I think from that we actually the house that we lived in San Diego came with chickens and quails. we were like, okay, I guess we're going to have chickens and quails now. And then it was like, whoa, this is actually amazing. We're getting like, it was too many, but we were getting like 3 dozen eggs a day. And I realized like, man, I actually really love this, like going out to the chicken coop twice a day and taking care of them. And so for us, it's just been a lot of like trying things and kind of going with it, trial and error, a lot of that. And you know, once you get interested in something, then you are drawn to other people that are interested in the same thing. So at that point I had started like, you know, finding different like people on Instagram that had homesteads or, and it's a pretty common thing out here in Minnesota. There's a lot of people that have the small hobby farms. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of like back and forth with people. I think that's like, buy the planters, buy a planter, start really small. If you don't want to do that, like if you live in a place where you literally can't grow a tomato plant, like go to the farmer's market and even just to be exposed to that kind of, that kind of atmosphere with all the different kinds of foods.
It's like, I feel like in this age of over information and like, you know, you can sit online all day and become an expert at like, you know, a pagan diet, how to all that kind of stuff. And then I've noticed myself. So when it comes to gardening, cause I'm super, like, I really do want to get into it, but then I'll just kind of get frozen. Cause I'm like, okay. So, and I get what you're saying, like start small. Yeah. Cause in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm buying everything and I'm about to get this garden. It's about to be killing it, you know? And my friends are like, okay, well, we also got to figure out like, what can you plant now? Like you can't plant everything right now. It won't grow. But, it's just a good reminder. Cause me, I'm like an all or nothing person. So I don't want to just buy one tomato plant. I want to buy all the plants. You know? And then I'm also afraid of trial and error because of like the financial thing, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't want to buy all this stuff and then everything dies. That's also another thing because I feel like I'm not a green thumb. You know, I have two real plants. And I wouldn't say they're thriving, but they're also not dying. You know what I mean?
Okay. And so Okay. I heard this quote and I love it because I am also, I'm an all or nothing. Like I want to do something perfectly before I do it. That stalls me a lot. And whereas my husband's like, let's just do it and figure it out along the way. So we're a good balance. But I read this quote the other day that was like, it said, the best gardeners have killed the most plants. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So I don't have to do it perfectly. I will learn from those errors, from those dead plants, those, you know, that animal that got sick. Like I get it. I get it's a personality thing that's like, you just kind of want to go for it, but to not. Be afraid of that. Yeah. Of that failure. So.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to not be good at it.
Yeah.
I want to just, I want to kill it.
Yep.
But So that's, I mean, it's such a good reminder. We're like, wherever we are, wherever we live, we all live in, different climates, different things. Like there's one step we can take. And so what if we take that one step and then, I love that. Like you're saying, like changing one meal or I was talking with a friend the other day cause I post about, you know, seed oils all the time and stuff. And, and so a lot of people are like, okay, but you know, olive oil is so expensive and all of that stuff. Right. And so it's like, okay, well, you know, cook with what you still want to. And what if you just look at the products that you're buying and see what stuff has you know, canola oil in it, or just start to get yourself like aware. Don't even make any changes. Just like start to look at how much of, you know, canola oil or soybean oil, like all these different things are in your product, in your products. And then it's like, cause for me, and I forget who said this, but awareness precedes change. So I think a lot of times, you know, and maybe there's people who are like, I'm not going to research food. I don't have time. I want to be healthy, but I don't want to do that. And that's totally understandable. Right. So then it's like, you know, just start looking at food labels and just start like seeing the normal staples that you have in your house. Like just start looking at what the ingredients are and start to notice maybe like, can I understand most of the things that I'm reading, you know, on these labels? And maybe one day just Google one of them, or, you know what I mean? Like these, like you're saying, like super minute, simple steps, because then I think once we realize like, oh, this is in, you know, XYZ, I eat that every day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to try, you know, just some of those small things. And so it's, instead of doing nothing, doing a small, small bites, can be really helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
The name of the game. It's not to live perfect, like you keep saying.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not to be perfect, and it's not to, like everybody on Instagram is doing something seemingly perfectly.
Right.
And moms are killing it, you know, at everything they do. I saw that hashtag recently.
They are.
Normalize real houses or something.
Oh, sure.
Because I think a lot of content for moms, and I actually look at a lot of content for parents because of the kids' music that I do. So like I do follow a lot of kids' accounts. And it's like, like even just, I mean, people's houses, it's like all white and beautiful and organized and clean, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's, parents, y'all go through a lot. Y'all get like inundated with a lot of stuff.
It can be, it can definitely be a lot. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. So I can just imagine the pressure to be like, well, if I'm going to change my kid's diet, I have to do this perfectly. Like I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to, I cook already. I'm tired and I, you know.
Right. So,
But going along with all of this too, I think not just to talk about nutrition for nutrition's sake, like I think we both are really passionate about it from a, like a biblical perspective as well. Mm-hmm. And so I just, like what is it? Why do you think it's important when we talk about just diet and lifestyle? Like how does that coincide with faith and following Jesus?
Yeah, I think it's taken me a little while to sort of form my understanding of this because, again, there's just not a lot of research or not research. There's not a lot of resources out there where it's like, okay, I really do want to be intentional about pursuing this lifestyle without making it an idol.
Yeah, that's good.
But like, you know, I want Christ to be the center of it. So how do I do that well? And I think, I think the biggest thing is what I think of is, you know, regardless of what our job is, regardless of what we do now, like our call, you know, call it calling or career, whatever it is, like God has called each of us to something in our lives.
Yeah.
And along the way, you know, he provides what we need, right? If we rely on him and we trust him. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we have these physical ailments, and I'm not talking like we need to feel perfect and be perfect. And I know that you and your testimony like can attest to this, but if we have these physical bodies that inhibit us from pursuing this calling to its full potential, we're going to miss so much of what God wants to do in and through us. And, and I think that making decisions, small or big decisions now, in the long term, it's ultimately going to make more room for God to use us and to then, you know, bring him glory. And I think too, and I think I've heard this on, you know, your podcast and maybe some others, it's like, we are literally a temple of the Holy Spirit, like our physical bodies. Yes, we will not have these forever. And thank goodness, because I just, I'm so grateful for this body now, but I cannot wait for, you know, what the Lord has for us in heaven. But I think that, you know, we have this responsibility to take care of what he has given us, be good stewards. You know, we're good stewards. Yeah. We're called to be good stewards of our money and our possessions and the people in our lives and relationships. And like, why not our physical bodies, you know? And so I just see, and I've seen it as I've, as people like similar with you, as more people have gravitated toward me and said, hey, I noticed something different about you. can you share what you know and help me? I've seen people sort of come out from this darkness of physical pain and exhaustion and I mean, anything and everything. And then they are more able to fully step into their calling and who they are as a person, as who God created them to be. So I think that's why it's important. I pursue it for me and for my family.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. There's such a, I think too, it's important to like remind people as well that like living a lifestyle, you know, more aware of what we eat and what we do, it actually can bring a lot of joy. Like, I think there's a lot of like eating healthy means you can't have this and you don't eat this and you don't participate. Same with like what people believe it to be a Christian, right? Like, you can't have fun, you can't partake in you know what I mean? And it becomes this really like restricted lifestyle. And I think the beauty that I found, I don't do anything perfectly as well either. Like, I, you know, sometimes the awareness part, right? Like, I noticed starting last year that when I eat chips that have canola oil in it, I just I break out and I get pimples. Not eat chips ever that have canola oil? No. Like, I eat them, you know, every once in a while, stuff like that. But I've also found like it fun to try new foods and to like, I don't love cooking, and so that's been like a struggle, but I like cooking for other people. So that's been fun for me to be like, you know, how can I try and make something that somebody loves, but like to a way that I also feel good, you know, serving it to them, as well as like something I want to enjoy as well. And it's become this like really beautiful, I feel like I've actually expanded like my enjoyment when it comes to food and nutrition, because like you're saying, like, I've learned the role that it actually does play in my body, and it can help, you know, make me feel good and vibrant and energetic. And then when I don't eat well, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? It's just like, you know what? I enjoyed that, so I'm just going to let myself enjoy it, you know? And then, and it doesn't have to be this thing of perfection. But yeah, so I think that's something I've been trying to even just navigate in like social circles and just being like a normal human in society. Yes. You know, I've never wanted to be the weirdo or like, but I totally am. I've turned into, I say it all the time to my friends, like anybody who knew me like at APU in college would make so much fun of me now just because of like the way that I live and the way that I eat. But I'm proud of it and I love it. But
I feel you. I think I've come a similar journey just in like not really wanting to like really openly share things with people, because I'm like, they're just going to think I'm weird and I'm that weird person. And, you know, but it's kind of come to the point where people are like, oh, but we've seen what, you know, like little bits and pieces I have shared. And now people are like, similar with you, like coming to me with, hey, like, I am having this issue with my kid and their health. Like, what has worked for you and that kind of thing? And so it's so cool. Again, not the like prideful, look at me, I do it perfectly. I'm an amazing person. Absolutely. But it's just like, hey, this is what works for me. Maybe I can share some knowledge and insight with you, see if it works. But anyway, interesting.
It's just, it's become this like fountain of resource, which is a cool thing. That's awesome, man. And okay, so what all is on your farm? I gotta know.
Yeah. So we currently have, so we have a lot of chickens, and we actually just butchered 20 of them like 3 days ago. And we do like 2 rounds of meat birds every summer, spring, summer. So we have egg layers, we have a turkey, and we typically don't keep turkeys as pets. We just keep them for a few months, and then, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas is what we usually name them. But this one turkey we've kept because she just kind of turned into like one of the chickens. And anyway, and then we actually have horses where they're not ours. We're boarding them, which is kind of the best of both worlds, because we're not horse people, but we get to enjoy the benefits of having them on our property, and the kids love them, like absolutely love them.
Awesome.
And we did, we raised pigs with some friends, actually some neighbors of ours. So they weren't actually on our property. We were kind of doing a trial run with them on their property. So we like helped them build the fence and fed them and that kind of thing. And then again, we have big garden, lots of a big, huge raspberry patch, all these different fruit trees. And so look, we did not put all that in ourselves, right? Okay. The garden, yes, is a yearly thing, but like the raspberries and the rhubarb and the apple trees and all that stuff was here, which is awesome that we sort of inherited that. So, and again, like it's, you know, we are doing a little bit more each year, it seems like, as our kids get older and we have more of the mental capacity to do more. We, I think pretty consistently we have a lot of maple trees. And so we tap our maple trees for syrup, which is like a super fun experience for kids. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it's delicious. It's so much fun. So
I love that.
So that is currently what we have on the farm as of now.
I love that. You just have a variety of all of it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love this. If I had known Emma, I did know Emma in college. If I had asked Emma in college, do you ever think you'd start a farm?
No.
I don't think I would have thought of you as somebody who would start a farm.
No. And that's always, people are like, did you always want to do this? And I'm like, I never know what to say. Cause I'm like, well, no, but it just sort of gradually happened. And we just happened to like come into anyway. Yeah. It's, I know it's funny. I tell Chris all the time, my husband, I'm like, my life does not look anything like I ever thought it would. And it's because of you. In the best way, it's because of you. Cause he's the dreamer. He is the dreamer. He is the one that's like, let's just do this thing and we'll learn along the way. And I'm like, hang on, we need to like research and do it perfectly. And I'm so grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fun. Cool. Dude. Well, I love that. Well, is there any, I don't know, words of wisdom or trinkets or just little last, things that you would want to just encourage people kind of in this whole journey. And I know we didn't really talk. I got so hype about all the food stuff. I know we didn't totally talk even just non-toxic products and all that kind of stuff, but I know it's kind of a similar, just start with what you can and what you have. And, also don't Google too much about everything.
I know. I have to be. Yeah.
Especially if you're not in a place where you can make the change. I think.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned for myself is like sometimes ignorance is usually bliss, but then it's like if I expose myself to something, but I'm not in a place where I'm then going to like do anything to make a change about it, then all it does is add unnecessary pressure.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have anything yet.
Yeah. And because you will get both sides of the coin for every solution. You Google like, what's the best kind of sunscreen to use? What is the best kind of beef to eat? Or like, you know, or like what kind best type of protein. And you're going to get, so I have found with that is find a couple or a handful of sources, whether those are podcasts or blogs or influencers, like find those people that you, by word of mouth or, you know, and you will know, you have to have that discernment, like, man, I'm drawn to this, but, and then I usually go to that first, instead of just Googling something random, I'll actually go to this specific person or their book, and look at what it says in there. Yeah. That way, I'm not inundated with like, this is their perspective and their perspective and their perspective. And also just being, I think, discerning in general of like, just because you read it and somebody says this is what worked for me, like you have to decide if that's best for you. But I think it's the best thing to just start really small. I think we're really fortunate right now that we live in a time where a lot of things are pretty available to us. I mean, like I do majority of my grocery shopping at Target and Costco. Like we don't live close to a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods or anything like that, but I can get really quality stuff because more people are learning about this. And so there is more and more of a need. So we have those decisions like, man, I really love chips. Okay. Then get some chips that are made with avocado oil instead of canola oil. Like there's really simple swaps to do. Or man, I really love this moisturizer that I use every day. It's like, okay, but research that and maybe just change your moisturizer. Because once you get going, it's gonna, it really just naturally sort of like cascades into other things. And also just knowing, you know, knowing when to say, okay, because that's definitely been my, I would say, downfall in all of this is I would tend to go too far and want to do everything. Yeah. And sort of like, I did sort of make it, and you know, it can be an idol for me because I get sort of obsessive about it because I am so passionate about it. But it's like, hold on, like, I have to sort of check myself, or my husband says, hey, come on, just slow down for a minute. But yeah, I think pick one area. Yeah. Is it, is it food? Is it movement? Is it literally just get outside every day and get some vitamin D, or supplement with vitamin D if you can't get outside? Like, there are, and I think you had an episode where you shared a lot of like free things you can do to like upgrade your health and wellness. I'm like, just do one of those. I mean, it's there's so many options.
So many options. Yeah. But I love that. Yes. Yeah. There's a couple trusted sources that you have too. That's good. A couple months ago, I unfollowed a lot of just health influencers, not for any negative reasons, but I was just like, I know who I really like and I trust, and I get a good range from like four or five people. And especially in the midst of the pandemic, there was a lot of negativity and, you know, there's just from every angle, everything going on. And I was like, okay, I need to only have a couple sources that I'm going to, because I'm scrolling through my Instagram and I'm like, the world is over. Okay. Yep. We're done. We're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's super good advice. And then, can you tell us where to find you? And you have a exciting, you're starting your own podcast as well.
Yeah. It's so, it's crazy. So, I think more so my husband, but we're both, he is very much an entrepreneur, and we always have so many different irons in the fire. We're always doing different things. So I think with our kids getting a little bit older and being less in the like cloud of like newborn and young toddler stage, we're both creatives. And so there's more space for us to like move into more creative things. So, before the podcast, my husband, he, so random, again, a year ago, I would have been like, no way. He actually started a kids YouTube channel with his buddy. So if you have kids, you have to check out Ivan the Inspector on YouTube. It's like an educational live action show. And they've actually done a lot of episodes on our farm. So they did baby chicks, maple syrup. They did a paddleboarding episode. I'm trying to think what else, planting seeds, and then a bunch of other things too. And there's episodes weekly that drop. So yeah, it's pretty, it's pretty fun. So like, it's like for ages, I mean, 1 to 7. I mean, it's fun.
So cool.
And then me and a couple friends of mine are starting a podcast. It actually launches tomorrow. So I think by the time this podcast is out, we will be live.
So cool.
Yeah. It's called Worth the Risk, and it is it's a podcast channel. So there's actually three different shows on it that sort of all, they have different sort of personalities, but they're all under the same vein. And it's, the premise is just that, like, proving that humanity is beautiful, that there is room at the table for everybody to share really deep, authentic conversations, have tough conversations about real things that are happening in life. So that's been a fun journey, and we're really excited to launch that tomorrow. And even just like watching your journey has been pretty cool to see, like, she's been doing this, and it's been cool to see. So,
So that's exciting. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm excited to listen to it. Awesome. And then, we can find you Instagram and all that. And I'm going to add all Instagram. Of this course. I'm going to add all of these links. And you were so kind to send some resources as well that you love. And so I'm going to add those in the notes as well. Because two of them I know. And so, that's super cool. But thank you so much for taking time and just sharing. And I feel like this is just a really good, you're just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all of this, and just the way to live and just kind of make more informed decisions for, like, I love how you said that, like, each family just, and each person, it's, we kind of all require and desire different things. And so what is that, you know, for you, what has God said over your family, and what are the goals and the changes that, you know, are going to benefit you the most? I love that. It's beautiful because we're all so different. We are all so different.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.